Today, we're coming from John chapter 4, the fourth chapter of John. And in this passage, this is the illustration that we're looking at today of Jesus when he met the Samaritan woman at the well. Now, many of us know about this story. This was a woman who was there when Jesus sat beside a well in Samaria, and he asked for a drink of water. That's not the main emphasis of this message today. We're going to skip down to verse 19 of John chapter 4. And then the 19th verse, the woman said to him, said to Jesus, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour has come, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The topic today is the essentials of worship. The essentials of worship. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the message that you have given me, Father. I just pray that you allow me to share it, Lord. Remove me and just show you, Father, your words and your will in your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The essentials of worship. If you have been keeping up with the news, you know that a few days ago, our president has identified houses of worship as essential. And when I heard that announcement, I had to listen to it once again and really write down what he said. He said that houses of worship are essential. There are places that provide essential services. And he called on governors to open up the church and allow people to come and worship. He went on to say, these are places that hold our society together and keep our people united. The people are demanding to go to church. Many millions of Americans embrace worship as an essential part of life. That's what was said a few days ago. Now, I'm not the kind of person who goes and rants on social media when I don't agree with something that is said. But as I reflected on those words, I went to the Word of God to see what the Word of God said. And what our president said, many millions of people embrace worship as an essential part of life. Now that is so true, but worship is not limited to the buildings that we congregate in. For after all, we are the church. So I want to share with you a few moments from John chapter 4, where we see as Jesus has this discourse with the Samaritan woman at the well, he shares what the truly essentials of worship are. The woman In the previous verses, Jesus has told the woman, go call your husband and tell him to come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you are now with is not your husband. You spoke truly. Now, as we look at the 19th verse, the woman says to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Through her conversation with Jesus, and he used the water to minister to her, and that she will receive living water. Now, that's usually what we hear when we hear messages about this passage. But as we go on to the 19th verse, and she perceives that he is a prophet, and she says something in verse 20, our fathers worshiped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. You see, he was in Samaria, and the Samaritans worshiped on a mountain called Mount Gerizim. And in Jerusalem, the city of David, the temple was on Mount Zion. So she is sharing that this is how we worship and where we worship, but this is where you worship, in Jerusalem, in the temple. It's interesting that Jesus had just dropped so many truths on this woman, but yet she wanted to discuss places of worship. In verse 21, Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Jesus is talking about himself. For he came to save mankind. He came to redeem us to God. But he is sharing something with her, that the time will come soon, that not on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. What he is saying is that true worship is not dependent on a particular location. Those who truly seek God will find him anywhere and everywhere. You know, one of the first deacons called to the new church in Acts chapter 6 was a man named Stephen. And because Stephen was able to minister so powerfully, the synagogue officials, they brought up charges of blasphemy to him. And they accused him of speaking falsely against Moses and against God. And in chapter 7 of Acts, Stephen defends himself by going over a history lesson of God's relationship with the children of Israel, starting from Abraham and going all the way to Christ. But I like verse 44, when he shares with them about worship. He said, our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he appointed, instructing Moses to make it according to the pattern that he had seen, which our fathers, having received it in turn, also brought with Joshua into the land possessed by the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers until the day of David, days of David, who found favor before God and asked to find a dwelling for God, for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. He is sharing with them the history of their worship pattern, since Abraham. But then what really struck me was he quoted from Isaiah 66 in the 48th verse. Stephen says to the officials, however, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet says in Isaiah, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things? I believe what Stephen is saying is that worship is not just limited to the temple. We cannot put God in a box. We cannot say that the house of God being open is essential for worship, my brothers and sisters. I think you know where I'm going with this message. Then in the 22nd verse, Jesus says to the woman of Samaria, you worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. You know, he is setting this woman straight right here, where he is letting her know that Samaritan worship does not provide a vehicle for salvation of mankind. Salvation is through Jesus Christ, who was born of the lineage of Abraham. Salvation is of the Jews. Verse 23, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers, let's pause for a moment and underline that, the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. Jesus is telling this woman at the well that the hour is coming. The hour is coming when he will be taken, he will be beaten, he will be tried, he will be crucified, but he will be resurrected. But not only that, he's letting her know that the hour is there now for her. With the resurrection of Jesus Christ, a new order of service was established, my brothers and sisters. And it's focused on our true worship. It's focused on our essential worship, which is not limited to a location, my brothers and sisters. True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. You know, true worshipers realize that Jesus is the truth of God. John 14:6 says, Jesus said in reply to a person, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. True worshipers know that Jesus is the only way. True worshipers realize that there is only one way to the Father. I want to take us to Acts chapter 4, verse 11 at this time, when Peter was defending himself before the officials who are trying to squelch the worship of Christianity. And he shares with them in verse 12 of Acts 4. Well, let me go to verse 11 first so we get a further clarity. And he shares with them, this is the stone which was rejected by your builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. He's talking about Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Yes, my brothers and sisters, our houses of worship are built by stone. They are built by wood. They are built by other materials. But let us not forget the main component in our worship is the chief cornerstone, who is Jesus Christ, who is not limited to just one building or a building. Again, in verse 23, but the hour is coming. I'm back to John 4. The hour is coming and now is where true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. Don't you know God is seeking our worship to him? And it is not limited to a location, but it's within our spirit. It's how we commune with God. True worship is when we unveil ourselves and we deal openly and honestly with God. True worship is not limited to a building. True worship is essential, but the building is not. And in verse 24 of John 4, Jesus goes on to say, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him, worship in spirit and in truth. And as a spirit, God is not confined to one location. Worship can only be done through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You see, those who worship God, true worship is when we, through the Spirit of God, attain friendship with God and intimacy with God. True worship is not limited to a certain place, my brothers and sisters. It's not limited through going through certain rituals or bringing certain gifts. True worship is when our spirit meets God's spirit. And this is when all truth is revealed. True worship. In verse 25 of John 4, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. It's interesting about this woman of Samaria. Even though she was ignorant in a lot of things, but the one thing she did know is that Christ the Messiah is coming. And in verse 26, he said to her, I who speak to you am he. Jesus is saying that he is the truth. And isn't it interesting, my brothers and sisters, that she did not have to go to a temple. She did not have to go to a synagogue. She did not have to go to a location to meet Jesus, because Jesus met her where she was. True worship is essential. I want to go back to that press conference of a few days ago, where our president said many millions of Americans embrace worship as an essential part of life. Clergy will make sure that their congregations are safe as they gather and pray. I know them well, and I'm quoting, I know them well. They love their congregation, they love their people, and they don't want anything bad to happen to them or to anybody else. Now that last part, no truer words has he ever said. For after all, we do love our congregation. We do love all of our people, but we don't want anything bad to happen to them. Therefore, you can demand that government officials allow us to open the doors. But the door to true worship has never been shut, my brothers and sisters. It cannot be legislated, because we worship in spirit and in truth. Make no mistake, my brothers and sisters, we take great pride in our buildings. But the building is not a monument unto itself. I should know because I spent a lot of alone time in our building where we worship at Beacon Light Missionary Baptist Church. And you know what? When I'm alone in that building, I have solitude. I can meditate. I can pray. But also, I hear the creaking of the support beams as the wind blows against the building. With the absence of sound and other activity in the building, I hear the second hand of the clock tick off the seconds. What I don't have is the people in the church, because it's the people that make the building the church. What makes the church is the people of God. So when we say that the church is essential, we are talking about the care, that care and worship of our people is essential. And if we love our people, we want to make sure none of them come to harm. So waiting additional weeks, my brothers and sisters, or even months is possible. It's okay with me. And why is it okay with me? Because I want to make sure to take care of you, just as God has taken care of us. He has provided us with this technology so we can continue to worship. The word says that we're two or three gathered in my name. I am truly in the midst. And my brothers and sisters, we have about 50 of us right here. So God is in the midst. Yes, I miss the fellowship. Yes, I miss the harmony that comes from the choir. Yes, I miss meeting and greeting with each one of you. And one day we will be back together collectively within the building. But until then, remember that the essentials of worship is worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Remember that, my brothers and sisters. We're taking care of each and every one of you. If you look at the statistics of who was affected by this terrible virus, a lot of it falls in our lap. And I would not be an obedient servant if I allowed any of you to come under harm's way. The health and wellness ministry, they are working hard to outline protocol for us to follow when we do get back into the building. But until then, we will continue to worship the Lord with the essentials of worship. And essential is not making sure the doors of the church are open. To reflect back on a previous pandemic in 1918, I was reading up on an article from Washington, D.C., when they decided to close the doors of the church around October of that year. Some churches had services outside, but that was not enough, and that was soon banned. You know, they did not have the technology that we have today. So there was Calvary Baptist Church in Washington, D.C. I believe that's the name of it. But the pastor, on the day that he could preach, he preached a powerful sermon that was published and distributed to the people. And his topic was some reflections growing out of the recent epidemic of an influenza, that afflicted our city. And in his sermon, he acknowledges that there was some considerable grumbling on the parts of some regarding the closings of churches. However, he offered a defense on the ban of gatherings. And this is what he said: the fact that the churches were places of religious gatherings and others not would not affect in the least the health question involved. If avoiding crowds lessens the danger of being infected, it was wise to take the precautions and not needlessly run into danger and expect God to protect us. He was speaking truth back in 1918. He was speaking truth in not gathering together too soon as a crowd. He was speaking truth in lessening the dangers of being infected by this terrible virus. He was also speaking truth when he said it is wise to take precaution. There was no agreement back then on whether or not the church should be open or closed among clergy. But I like that last part that I want to read again, where he said, and not needlessly run in danger and expect God to protect us. My brothers and sisters, we all know that God can protect us. God can take care of us. But why run to danger when we don't have to? So therefore, if we look at this passage about this true worship, we see that it is not limited to a building, but God is everywhere. He is a spirit, and we worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, make no mistakes. I'm not giving anyone an excuse to say I don't need to go to church anymore. That is not the point, because there is great value in our relationships that we build in the building. There is great value in praying together, praising together, singing together, glorifying God together, and serving God together. But during this time, we need to be reminded of what true worship really is. We will be back soon. And when that day comes, we will all glorify the Lord together. We will have a praise service like we have never had before. But until that day, let us praise in place. Let us worship in place. Let us keep ourselves safe and remember that God is with us. So my brothers and sisters, thank you. I pray that this has provided clarity of true worship. So therefore, when you talk to your friends later on, share with them what true worship really is and what is really essential in worship. And it's not the opening of the doors of a building before its time. That time will come, but it is not now. So bear with us and pray for us until we're able to meet once again face to face. We will continue to do it through this technology. Let us pray. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for just blessing us once again and just allowing us to worship where we are, Father. I thank you for these, your people. I thank you, Lord, for providing guidance. I thank you, Lord, for taking care of us. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.